Thank you, worship team. It's really good that, you know, people set the platform where our brother can come up and know that he's got the freedom to speak and preach and just let out what God's got to say. But it's great to be able to welcome you, Brother Hans Wharton from Adelaide again. We do welcome you, Hans. It's great to be in your midst. Pastor Chris and Hans ministered together in quite a couple of places in Sri Lanka and Philippines too, I think, was it? No, not Philippines, but Sri Lanka mostly. But we have that affinity. We've known Hans quite a number of years and Fiona now. But it's good to have you in our midst, and we look forward to hearing what God has laid on your heart. So let's just bless and welcome our brother into our midst this morning.
Oh, it's good to be here again, and if I'm meeting you for the first time this morning, it's great to be with you. And it's been my privilege, as Pastor John said, to have been in Sri Lanka with Pastor Chris many times, and I have a particular affinity for Sri Lanka, and help facilitate that field for our CRC missions ministries. And it's a privilege to be involved there and to have Chris such a vital part of that as well, and he's there right now. Usually we're there together, but I had a wedding on this weekend here in Melbourne, that's why I'm over here, and so I had opportunity to come and minister in your church as well, but it meant that I couldn't be in two places at once, so my heart's over there with them this morning. Why don't we just pray for them? Father, Lord, it's a troubled nation as well. It's recovering, and we thank you, Lord, for the many positive signs of what you're starting to do there. And Lord, we just uphold Pastor Chris and Pastor Barry as they minister together in that place. And we just give our love and support to them. And thank you, Lord, that through the power of prayer we can connect across the oceans, across distance, and know, Lord, that they are in your hands, secure, firm. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, as you can see up there, I want to talk to you a bit this morning about mindsets. And the story was told some years ago from that I heard from one of the mission fields in Papua New Guinea, where missionaries had really been trying to get some breakthrough into one of the tribal regions where there hadn't been much interaction with Westerners and with the gospel. And these white fellows came into this particular valley and had been working there for the best part of 6 months, not getting anywhere, not even making it to the first base of actually getting conversation going or connection with the local elders or leaders. And they were really praying, God, we've got to have breakthrough here. Somehow, God, you've got to bring us to a place where we can start to at least dialogue. How can we bring your gospel, or how can we share with these people if we can't even start the ball rolling, you know? And anyway, they woke up one morning and suddenly there was this delegation of all the elders at the front of their shack, at the front of the little house that they had. I thought, this is it, God. Thank you, God, you're bringing us this sort of breakthrough. And they'd been praying hard for this sort of day to come. And so, anyway, one of the elders stepped forward and said, in the little bit of language, local language that they could connect with, and said, we just want to know, why do you keep that stuff? He said, what do you mean, why did we keep that stuff? Why do you keep that stuff? The elder said. He says, we just see you. He said, every time you blow your nose, you pick out this beautiful cloth, and then you blow in it, and then you fold it back up again, and you put it back in your pocket. He says, why do you keep that stuff? they've been trying, you know, to get a grip on these Westerners and these strange habits that they had. Of how they were just, because if you've been in a lot of those sorts of nations, you just get out the side of your nose and cast it aside, and you certainly don't get a special cloth out of your pocket and fold it up and put it away and put it back in. Isn't that amazing how your mindset can predispose you to certain things, and how your view of your world can frame your perception of reality? And they could not understand how something that they discarded was actually counted so significant that you'd fold it up and put it away in your pocket. Why do you keep that stuff? Always love that story because it actually introduces the thought that I want to talk about this morning. Is that you too have those things that preconceive or shape or mold the way you view your world. It's your mindset. It's the way you think. It's the way you respond to your environment. And we all do it all the time. Just before we get going too far this morning, I just feel I have a word for you this morning. Just stay seated. And I'll just encourage you with these words. You know, I just sense God wants to say to you this morning that there's a fresh energy He wants to bring to your life and to your circumstance. And that's true to every one of you here this morning. But I don't know whether particularly you've been going through some challenging situations or circumstance, but I feel like God wants to say to you this morning that there's an energy that comes from Him. You can do it in your own strength, but there's a new way of living. There's a new level of competence. There's a new level of effectiveness that God would want to bring into your world. And it comes not by human effort, not by your own strength, but by the power of Christ. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "For this I strive," it says, "with all the energy which He mightily inspires within me." And so it's not that there's no striving, it's not that there's no human effort, but it comes from an energy that He gives you. And I feel like the Lord wants to talk to you a little bit this morning about the strength that you can have in Him, because there's a different mindset you need to go with. It's not the mindset of you doing it yourself. It's the mindset of what God wants to do through you and with you. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, it says, "Look to the Lord and His strength." That's where you're to look. Another verse from the Psalms, it says, "The Lord," in Psalm 28 and verse 7, says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." I just feel like God wants to remind you that that's the covering you've got over your life. That's the force that's there for you in your circumstances. Just a couple other quick verses. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13 says, "May He strengthen your heart." And I just feel like God's going to position within you to be a person of strong heart. A person who can just stand strong in the purposes of God. And there's something, I'm not saying necessarily you're going to come before a point of challenge or difficulty, but you're going to draw upon strength and need to draw upon strength that's not your own. And God wants you to uncover that and discover that. Hebrews 12 and verse 12 talks about strengthening your arms and your weakened and feeble knees. You know, let them be empowered by God. Does that connect with you at all this morning? Can I pray for you? Just stay there, and let's reach our hands out to. What's your name? Gadgen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the strength and the power that comes from you. We thank you, Lord, for your enabling, your capacity that lifts us beyond ourselves, and takes us into a whole new arena of living. And Lord, I pray for Gadgen. Lord, in Jesus' name. Father God, let there just come upon him a capacity that takes him, not just in his human strength, not just in the wisdom and knowledge that he has, but allows him to engage his world through the power of the Spirit. I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, whatever comes his way, let him remember that he's to strive with an energy that you mightily inspire within him, in Jesus' name. Is this your wife or your partner? Father, together, let them just really just sense that dynamic in their marriage and relationship. The sense, Lord, you want to take them on to just a new level of fruitfulness and effectiveness together. And Lord, in Jesus' name, let that come not from just their own human striving, but come from the power of your Spirit working through them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It's good, isn't it? Just to know that God's on our side. Can I just, also for my brother here, just with the white t-shirt on. Yeah. Can I give a word to you as well? Just stay seated. And I just want to encourage you as well that God defends your cause. You know, there's a lot of forces that intimidate us. Do you understand what I mean by that? That people that want to talk negative of us and pull us down, and Satan uses those things to tell us we're no good and we're inadequate. But I just feel like the Lord would say to you this morning that He is the defender of the righteous. Hallelujah. And that He stands for you, and He wants to remind you that He's on your side. Hallelujah. And let me just give these words to you in Psalm 72, 74 and verse 22 says, "Rise up, O God, and He will defend your cause." That's a great word. I don't know, have you been under, have people been challenging you? Has there been some people raising questions over your life? People perhaps asking you things and demanding they're suspicious of you, or, you know, they've accused you of things that, you know, maybe are not your fault, but they're putting the blame towards you. I just feel like God wants to say that He sees those things and He defends your cause. Let me give you another verse. It says in Proverbs 23:11, it says, "For your defender is strong." Hallelujah. God is on your side. Praise His name. In Jeremiah 50 and verse 34, it says, "He will vigorously defend your cause." And one last verse for you. It says in Isaiah 51 and verse 22, it says that He is your God and He's the defender of His people. Hallelujah. I just feel like God wants to, it may not be totally even in the situation you're right now, but maybe as your days unfold, that there might be some things where you just feel like wrongly accused, or people who, or where you're feeling like you've got to do things in your own strength, and God says, "No, I'll defend you. I'll protect you. I'll honor you. I'll speak well of you. I'll stand behind you. I'm your defender. I'm your protector." Hallelujah. Does that connect with you? Can we pray for you? Hallelujah. Let's raise your hands out towards our brother here too. Lord, it's so good to know that you're with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. You are our defender. You are our protector. And Lord, you're just reminding my brother this morning that you're on his side. Thank you, God. That he doesn't have to do things in his own strength. He doesn't have to try and just believe, Lord, in his own power. But Lord, there is a great God who knows truth and who is a defender of the truth and who stands, Lord, on our behalf, defending us in the arenas, Lord, where we sometimes can't defend ourselves. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, that where there's an accuser, where accusation would come, that Satan, you're the accuser of the brethren, but Father, you're the defender of the righteous. And we pray that, Lord, over my brother now in Jesus' name. Lord, that he'll always know that you're his defense, that he won't have to run to his own defense or stand in the gap for himself. You're in control. And let him just look to you all the time, Father, and say, "Lord, not by my strength, but by your power in Jesus' name." Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Good to pray with you. Thank you, Father. We develop mindsets so quickly that are based upon our view of our world, based upon our experiences, based upon our past. And, you know, when we become Christians, there's a whole new way of living that's to be where we live from, where we are guided by. Those words that I've even just given are affirmations of a God who says things are not always as they seem in the natural. There's another mindset that God wants to bring. And this morning, I just want to highlight a couple of scriptures to you. The first one, oops, I'm turning it off. I'm just going to learn how to work this machine. So here we go. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 6. Can we read it together? "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." Here is the concept, the mindset. And you know, some of your minds are set like concrete. They're just set. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. And that's the way it's going to stay. That mindset has robbed, stolen and destroyed so much in our worlds, because we get this attitude that says that's the way it is and it ain't going to change. Now, there is a mindset that you can develop from the natural, and there's a mindset that you can develop from the spiritual. And I'm encouraging you this morning that you are to see things as God sees them, and you're to live things from a different mindset. That's what it says there. Those who live according to the sinful nature have that mindset. They have their mind structured, their mind set towards what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance to the Spirit, now they also are set. They also are firmly believing. They are also stabilized and anchored in something, but it's not in the things of the flesh, but in the things of the Spirit. And there's a shift that needs to occur from us, from one mindset to another. It goes on to say this in the next verse. It says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is... Which one do you vote for this morning? Who wants life and peace? How many prefer death? We'll pray for you at the end. No, none of us prefer death. Yet it says that there is a mindset that leads to death. There is that which will cause you continually to cause decay in your life. But there is another mindset that causes life and peace to flow. And that gets my vote this morning. And it's where I want to encourage you. That Christ came to break us free from one mindset and to bring us into a whole new way of living. The opening chorus that you sang this morning spoke those words. If I can find it quickly. Was it this one? Nothing is impossible. It said, where is it? Is it here? Salvation for all? Oh, there it is. Nothing is impossible. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things because it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Now, it's easy to sing those choruses, but our mindset can still be living elsewhere. And what that chorus is trying to do is to say, guys, shift. Make a mind shift this morning. Move on into a new way of living where those things are not just on the pages of a song that we sing at the start of a service, but become part of the reality of our lives. For you this morning, energy that comes from Him. For you, that God is defending you and standing beside you. That's a different mindset. Because your world and your circumstances may be saying quite the opposite at times. But there's a mindset that flows from who God is. Hallelujah. You know, there are mindsets that are external. There are mindsets that are set by your world. They affect you by culture. By the way that we are viewed culturally. Many of you here this morning have come into this nation from different parts of the world. My parents came here as migrants. I was born in Australia, but my parents both migrated to this country. And I can well still remember as a young boy growing up in Australia when migration was just beginning that, you know, you were perceived as the other mob. You weren't Australian. You were, in fact, a wog. You know, you were considered in those names, they used to call us bloody Bolts because you came from the Baltic states. That's what was presumed. Anybody white-skinned who didn't speak English came from there. And there's always been mindsets that are in cultures that find it difficult to adapt. Now, one of the great things, actually, I think about Australia is that our mindset is reasonably open and embracive. And I trust many of you here are finding that. And certainly a church community like this should provide that environment will become as brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's mindsets that affects us culturally. There are mindsets that affect us economically. I says, well, you're just from that class of people. And with that comes a whole heap of mindsets that just predispose you to a way of thinking economically. of viewing your world financially, of the sort of standard of living you're going to set yourself at, of that which you can and can't believe in. And it sets your mind that way. Educationally. I had a horrible thing when I started in high school. In those years, they used to set your mind by an IQ test that you did. Some of you did it. And you get streamed according to your IQ. If you were particularly smart, you'd end up in A and B streams. Average was C. And then you got down into the riffraff, in the D, E, F. And if your school was big enough, you'd even average some maybe a G. I was down the bottom end. I can still remember the deputy headmaster coming into us and saying, well, you guys, because it was an all, they used to segregate boys and girls and just a boys' class. And he said, most of you won't get past year 10. Most of you are pretty hopeless and you better just pull your head in and try and behave because you're not going to go anywhere. And it was all this sort of mindset based upon one IQ test that said that I ended up in 1D or E or whatever it was. Because of that mindset, I couldn't learn languages because I wasn't smart enough to learn languages, even though I already spoke another language. I mean, how dumb. For those of you who are multilingual here, you know if you can speak another language, you're already a long way towards learning a third language because your mind is opened up to thinking in different mindsets. But the mindset then said, no, that's the way you are. And there are a lot of people, my peers, who lived out that script and who lived by those words that were spoken over their lives by some dumb educator that said, that's the way you're going to be. And there are forces in our world that continually conform us and try to shape us into an image and into a mindset that Satan would love to lock you into this morning, and it leads nowhere except to death. But there's another mindset that a church like this celebrates. It's about growing. I love the new name you have for your church. It says you're not going to stay where you are, but you're going to grow. And it says it's an opportunity for you to break loose from a mindset that has controlled and manipulated and kept you small. The external mindsets are one thing. The internal mindsets are another. There are those things that others speak to you, but there are those voices that speak to you about yourself. That talk about who you are and who you're not. Self-worth. You're no good, that you're inadequate. Words that have been scripted sometimes by our parents into our lives. Circumstances that have happened, that have shaped our destiny and purpose. God would want to speak into those things this morning and break you loose. Some of you perhaps struggled in relationship areas. Maybe there's some things going down in your world that say this is the way it's going to be. Fiona and I have just been praying about a thing in our world with some friends and people that are close to us whose world is being shaped at the moment. And the mindset could so easily say, this relationship is fracturing. I want to introduce into that with my wife the power of God that says, no, this does not need to be this way. And there's a higher power at work. That God can transform what would seem in the natural a difficult circumstance, that by the injection of supernatural power, change can happen to that relationship and people's lives can be restored. Hallelujah. We speak a message of hope. We speak a message of a gospel that says that that mindset that you had can be transformed into another mindset that brings life and peace. Hallelujah. So this morning, the opportunity is here for you to examine your own life. Say, God, I'm going to just realign myself because I tell you, we need to do this continually. It's not a once-only thing. You know, as Christians, we need to learn to come into the spiritual nature that God has in place within us and define what it is to live the power of a life that is connected to God. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a conference and It was a healing conference, and it was fantastic. Just that the ministry that was there was just encouraging people to respond in the whole realm of the supernatural and believing for healing, and some amazing miracles. were shared and stories seen and circumstances happened there, you know. And at one juncture in the meeting, you know, the person who was speaking says, you know, even as I'm speaking today, God's healing people. And I want you to believe that God's healing power is here. I just say that to this meeting as well. God's power is here this morning. And, you know, he said, if you feel anything or in pain in any way, God's going to touch it. And I've been sitting in this conference, I think, for about two or three days at this stage. And man, I had a real sore back just from sitting in what weren't very comfortable seats. And you know what it's like when you sit there for a long time. I said, God, you know, you could take this away like that if you wanted to. And then I thought, if you wanted to, that's a mindset that says the wrong thing. God, I know you don't want me to even have a painful back sitting here. You know, instantly I was healed. And the pastor had said, if you get healed, I want you to stand up and testify and say, just stand up and I'll say, yes, God bless you. God's healing power has been on you, or something like that. You know, and people have been standing up through the meeting as he's preaching and sharing, and God's healing power was obviously touching people all over the place. And so, you know, this happened to me. I thought, oh, I'm not going to stand. I was just a sore back from sitting in a chair. Because I don't suffer normally with chronic back pain. You know, I don't have a lot of back pain. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to stand. I went through this whole argument in my mind. It's amazing how your mind just sort of goes, and because it's set. And it just says, no, it tries to rationalize away or trivialize what God has just done. And, you know, the first action is often God. The second action is you self-examining. The third action is the devil just sowing in the negatives, saying, pumping it up and saying that wasn't God at all. It just happened, you know. And I thought, no, I'm going to stand up. I stood up after this, about 10 minutes of debate in my brain. I thought, this is, you're a great man of faith, you are. So I know where you're at this morning as well, because we all live in this struggle. You know, I haven't arrived at a mindset where I just, with Fiona, we just go through life just so spiritually in tune. There is so much in our nature that still draws us back as well into just doing things in that which we're programmed by and to, by our birth, which says that's the way it's going to be. You know, and this morning there, you know, it would be unusual for a group like this for there not to be people here with back pain. And it may be some of you that struggle with back pain. But as I was praying this morning, I just felt like the Lord said, well, throw it out there again. Because even while I'm speaking this morning, God's power is here to heal. If you've got back pain this morning, it's going to lift off you, I believe, as I'm speaking. And at the end, I pray some of you can testify to the fact that as you have been sitting, God's been working. See, our mindset even says, well, I've got to come out the front and be prayed for. You know, that's the mindset we develop. We have our church culture, which says that's the way we do it here. You know, all those things can so set in concrete the way things must happen when God functions outside the box. And this morning, you know, God is touching and healing right now as I'm speaking. Not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. Anybody else feeling God's presence just touching you right now? Father God, thank you for your spirit is here in this place and it's going to bring release to whatever the circumstances are in Jesus' name. I've often used the illustration that our being could be described like gears that come together. And, you know, you were made a tripartite being. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. There's sometimes a bit of debate in theology about whether we're bipartite or tripartite. Some people talk about our inner being and our outer being, and they're not sure whether our inner man is made up of two parts or one part, whether it's soul and spirit or soul-spirit. I don't want to get caught into that debate this morning because I don't think it trivializes what actually is a really important point. And that is that there is a reality that you and I live in which flows from our inner person. Now, our world puts all its focus upon one component there, which is the body. You know, And we spend a lot of money on this body. The clothing that we wear, the muscles we try to build up, the face we try to create, the food we do or don't eat. You know, there is a whole industry that's built around image. And we live in a world of image. We judge people by each other's image. We look at them and they say we, in the first 2 seconds, have already summed up whether we like or don't like a person by that which is the outward. I'm sorry, if you don't like me, it's the way it is. It's who I am. You might prejudge me, but we do. We prejudge. We have a mindset. And our world puts all its energy into that part of our being. In the verse that's up there, excuse me this morning, frog in my throat. The verse up there, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, interesting verse because it's actually the only verse in the New Testament that talks about the three-part nature of man. It's assumed in many other spots, like, you know, the Word of God is sharp and powerful and is able to separate soul and spirit. So it talks about it there. It talks about it in some other contexts as well. But in that verse it says, may the God of peace sanctify you or change you or transform you through and through, or wholly, spirit, soul, and body. And there it is, spirit, soul, and body. It talks about these three parts to our nature. Our soul and spirit actually make up our inner person. They make up the real you. You know, you can go through all sorts of changes physically. You can go through a horrendous car accident and changes. It may change you physically. You can go and spend a lot of money on cosmetic surgery and it might change you physically. But you know, you're still the same person. The real issue is who you are on the inside. That's the person. That's the real you. And it's made up of your soul and your spirit. And your soul is your self-conscious part. It's the identity that you have. It's your mind, your will, your emotions, your ego. It is what makes you who you are in terms of your character and personality. But there's another part to you as well, which is your spirit. And your spirit is that part of your nature that God inhabits. It's a place that causes you to be conscious of God. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's where the Holy Spirit comes and dwells. Before you're a Christian, that spiritual part of your nature is atrophied and dried up. It's like a dehydrated prune or a piece of fruit that's taken all the moisture out of it, and all you're left with is this shriveling little bit of flesh. But you know, if you've ever taken it, something that's dehydrated and you add water to it, what happens to it? It just comes back to its old form and shape. When the Holy Spirit came into you, that spirit that was shriveled up because of your independence, because of you not being alive to God, suddenly comes alive to Him, comes blossoms again. Before we were Christians, all we functioned in was the power of the soul, just trying to do things in our own strength. Now soul is engaged. Our mind, our will, our emotions. That's what gave us the drive. And the reason I've used that illustration of gears is it's like the gears of a bike or of a car. Those gears, when they engage, give drive and energy. When you're not a Christian, where does the energy come from? It comes from your soul, because that's all that's alive. Your soul is providing all the energy, all that self-energy, all that striving to make things happen, all that sense of education, all that sense of developing of yourself, is all the soul. It's all about you. It's all about the energy that you've got to muster up. And Satan has caused that world to live in this lie that it's, I've got to do it my way. I did it my way. You know, was that Frank Sinatra? You know, that song is actually the philosophy of our world. I did it my way. C.S. Lewis, great Christian author, said that the fundamental sin of humanity, if you had to reduce it all down, the sin that you all commit is the sin, he said, of self-conceit. It's the sin that says, I can do it in my own strength. I can live by my own power. It's the issue of will. It's the issue fundamentally of pride. It's the issue that says, I'm in charge of my life. And when Adam and Eve made that decision to break from God and to start to live in the power of themselves, I can be my own God. And humanity's been living in that continually. I can be my own God. I can do it in my own strength. It's me. It's all about me. It's all about doing things in the power of the soul. And that's where you and I have lived. That's what we were born into. It says we were born into this self-world or this world of sin. Sin is basically, the fundamental definition of sin is doing things in your own strength. Sin is self-conceit. It's about you. And all humanity commits that sin. It's not a word we use or like using in our culture anymore, but it's true. Sin is rampant. It's everywhere. It's doing things in the power of the soul. When God intended humanity to function in the power of the soul and the spirit entwined. And when you became born again, what a great term that is, born again. What happened? You were born first of the soul. You were born in the sense of a little child like this one here with a soul. Born with all the capacity of self developing in it. Born of flesh. Born of the natural. Born of that which is of this earth. And we become programmed and conditioned by that continually. But then, up when you become a Christian, what happens? You are born again. And a spirit comes alive. And that was intended to always be there, functioning together like two gears that come together, providing drive, providing synchronicity, providing that sense of union in our lives where we function not as soul-driven, but as soul-spirit-engaged people, where the natural and the supernatural came together in an amazing way that allowed us to be the image-bearers of God and to become all He created us to be. But where so many of us live is as Christians, our spirit comes alive and engaged at that moment of conversion. But then what do? We disengage and we continue to live in our own strength whilst the spirit hangs limply along to the side. When the energy of life was to come from where? From the spirit. The power of God was to intersect with ourselves and this amazing way of living was to happen, which was to flow not out of self but out of the spirit. That's the verse I gave you right at the start, Colossians 1:29. For this I strive with all the energy which He mightily inspires within me. There it is in that verse. It says it, how we're supposed to live. Striving, human effort. It's not that you just sit back and say, oh God, you do it all. It's not all spirit. It's spirit and soul coming together. But in a sense where we submit to the power of the Spirit, and where we strive not in our own strength but with His Spirit that's engaged with us, causing us to have an incredible energy that is inspired from God's power within us. Do you get where I'm coming from this morning? Well, here's the question. Where do you live? Do you live in the mindset of self, or do you live in the mindset of the Spirit? This one leads to death. We know that. All of us in ourselves will die. But the Spirit what? Gives life. And when your spirit and soul become engaged, what happens? When you die, you actually go on living. Because the Spirit goes on forever. Hallelujah. And the soul that is surrendered to the Spirit is engaged in one. And in that mystery that is the life to come, our soul spirit lives forever. With a sense of engagement to the Spirit of Christ. This is the fundamental picture of the gospel. And the challenge for our lives is to learn to keep heart and soul together. It's to learn what it is to function not just out of one, but out of both. And this verse puts it so clearly in Mark's gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, And say and with me. And say it again. And with all your soul. So here it is. Your soul and your mind. Soul and your heart, rather, are to engage together, your heart and soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. There's a synchronicity that's talked about here where soul and spirit were to function as one. The challenge for most of us is that we just get out of sync with our spirit and we just flick back into the old ways of living and doing things because our soul has been programmed. For most of us, most of our days, from the moment we were born, a soul started to rise up. A sense of ego, a sense of self started to develop. And it says, I'll do things my way. You will never have to teach this child one thing. That's no. Yes, you have to teach. But no just happens automatically. No. Because the soul just wants to take control. It says, no, I want to do it my way. But when we become spiritually alive, the learning, the craft of Christianity is to learn to live by the power of the Spirit. So our spirit is in control of our soul, not our soul in control of our spirit. Now the picture that I've got here next is a picture of the Korean army. If you've seen the North Korean army, when you see them, they just, you just think, how can 1,000 people march like that together? It's like in total synchronicity, isn't it? What a programming control, what influence, what it doesn't happen automatically, by the way. It comes out of severe training and much discipline. You know, but it speaks of this verse to me in Galatians 5:25, where it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us, what? Keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, here's our soul, and here's our spirit, and our spirit's trying to give direction to our lives, and our soul keeps trying to give the drive. It's a bit like a car when you're teaching your children to drive, you know? And the engine's got its revs, and the wheels have got their revs, and you know, you try to engage them together, and if you don't organize the clutch exactly right, you get kangaroo jumps or crunching of gears. And a lot of Christians live in that arena, you know. There's a lot of noise, a lot of gears crunching, gear struggling that's happening. When it's talking here about developing synchronicity, developing that harmony where soul and spirit, where the gears of our lives start to flow together as one. But we keep in step with the Spirit. As I mentioned, you know, what basically happened through sin is a barrier came between our soul and our spirit. And that which was intended to be engaged as one became separated. But praise God for the power of Christ that came into our world. Hallelujah. Because it became a bridge between our soul and our spirit, and brought those two that were warring partners back together again. Hallelujah. And that process happened the moment you came to Christ. And it was a state of justification. That's what that theological term means. It means just as if I'd never sinned. It's a legal act. The moment you became born again, God saw you as his son. Hallelujah. And because your spirit's alive, and you're now his child. The way you know children of God is that they are born of the Spirit. They're alive to the Spirit of God by the miracle of rebirth, by the miracle of Christ coming with his power into us and living and dwelling within us. You have the presence and power of Christ within you here this morning. Now there's another arrow there. What's it say? Sanctification. That's not relating to our legal state. That's talking about our moral state. Because many times, morally, we're still disengaged. Even though we're born again and seen as children of God, we haven't learned what it is to be led by the Spirit. And the sanctifying process is learning how to drive the car. It's learning how to bring the energy of God's Spirit into our world Well, we become led and directed by Him rather than by ourselves. Well, we are changed from one degree of glory to the next. Well, we start to move in a lifestyle that brings us back into the way God intended Adam and Eve to live in the first place, where it was His Spirit walking with them through the garden, where they just lived in total communion and harmony, and where that incredible place of living comes from, where your natural self flows together with your supernatural self, and you become again an integrated whole. Hallelujah. That's the sanctifying process of God that continually transforms and changes me day by day. It's what makes Christianity such an exciting faith. When people say, oh, this Christianity is boring, I think, man, you've got a different version than me. If it's boring, it's because you're still trying to do it all in your own strength. If you just let God engage with you, suddenly He takes you from boring into excitement beyond your wildest dreams, for He's able to do far more abundantly than you could ever ask, think, or imagine about your life. If you allow His power to come in, it takes you from the ordinary to the extraordinary. It takes you from the mundane into the sublime. It takes you from that which is just limited to your own strength and ability into a realm that is as big as God is. You see, what we do is we take God and we intersect with Him only at those moments when we need Him. Moments of crisis. We say, God, if you're there, of course He's there. And He comes and engages with us. And we think, oh, thank you, Lord. And then we disengage again and start doing things in our own strength. When the challenge of Christian living is to learn to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And that's the sanctifying process of God that wants to bring you into just living communion with Him. It's a different mindset. It's a different way of living and functioning in your world. Saying, I can do this because you're at work in my world, Lord. You see, so many times when you look at your circumstances, you look at the things around you, and you say, I can't handle this. This is impossible. Yeah, to you it is. We so many times take the infinite God and we shrink Him down to the size of our own mind and understanding. And we wonder why God doesn't come through for us. Because your God is only as big as yourself. You've taken God and you've made Him fit into your mind. When the reverse should be happening. You should be taking this mind and fitting it into an almighty God who says the words of those songs, with me all things are possible. Everything's possible through the power of Christ. If you have a different mindset. Well, yeah, but that's not the way we do things here. That's not the way it happened last time. I prayed last time and nothing happened, and it's not going to happen again. And this mindset that robs us and steals and destroys. One of the joys of being a father, growing up again with a young son, I've got three adult sons who are now well into their 20s, late 20s. And some years ago, Fiona and I had a surprise package from Jesus, and we had another child, a fourth son, and there's 11 years gap between the last two, and Caleb is now 14, growing up very rapidly, but, you know, when the other boys were already in university, we had another one about to start primary school, and so it was sort of, whew, it was like standing at soccer again every Saturday. It was doing all that dad stuff, and it was God's plan to keep me young, I'm convinced of it. Although sometimes I think it ages me prematurely, but that's all right. But you know, one of the joys of actually engaging with children again is watching kids' movies. Yesterday I took Caleb to see Up. Have any of you seen Up? It's a great movie. You think, man, creativity of man to just think up a plot like that. It's just a great story. So, but I love going in. And one of my favorite movies of recent times is this one, The Incredibles. Huh? The Incredibles. You haven't seen it. It's actually got it has got incredible spiritual analogies, as do so many children's stories. Because this is about a bunch of normal people who, when they put on their super suits, they turn into something that's incredible. And every one of them has a supernatural capacity and ability that lifts them beyond the norm. And they look normal until they put that suit on. And when they put that suit on, man, there's some gifts that flow through them. You know, when you put on the suit of Christ, you become incredible. You become something that just changes your world. You know, and God has given each of you supernatural gifts and abilities. Things that you can do that no one else can do. Things that would want to flow through you, that lift you beyond just normality into, not abnormality, but supernormality, into this realm that says, you're incredible. Now, the sad thing is, these most profound truths are being declared through a vehicle that trivializes it and puts it on a kid's screen and says, oh, that's all true in cartoons, but it couldn't possibly be true in real life. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to make it incredible. He has, you know, and I need to remind myself of that. You know, this church is committed to that message. Yet you walk out of here and you're right back into the world that says a different script and talks a different language and puts you down straight away again. And you and I need to live as supernatural beings in a natural world where we go out and we show people a better way of living. There's a different way, a mindset that needs to be brought into our world that causes us to live life at a new plane. So this morning, I want to encourage you to plug into God. What are you earthed to? You know, where does your connection occur? Is it connecting to self, or are you connecting into the Spirit? It's your choice. The thing about God is He doesn't violate our will. He could have programmed us to always be tuned to Him, but then He would have made us robotic. We would have just had to do what He told us to do. But He said, I want free will to operate here. I want you to choose me. I want you to live in the dynamic of what is the very nature of who I am as God, is that I can do what I want to do. And I want to give that gift to you as well. You can do what you want to do. And Satan came and caused us to do what he wanted us to do. And God says, no, now you have the choice in your days to choose me and live. And let's see what I can do with you. What are you plugging into this morning? Where are you going to connect? You're going to connect to the Spirit? Or is your soul just going to be where your connection is? Because there's a whole new way of living. John 16:14 says, He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That there was this new hotline that was to develop for us from God. From God to our hearts, to our minds, to action. You know, whereas we tend to go mind, heart, action. Our mind determines to our heart what actions we're going to take. But it's from God to our heart, to our mind, to action. Not mind to heart, but heart to mind. From God. God speaking to our heart, revealing it to our mind, transforming our mind, changing the way we think, and causing it to enact out. What do you plug into this morning? You know, you were created with a whole heap of connection points in your nature. They're your five spiritual senses. You can feel God. You can sense God's presence. You can hear Him. You can feel His touch. There are people who even actually physically smell Him, smell the fragrance of God. There are people who have seen God. The point is, there is a spiritual sensitivity that you and I need to develop that causes us to connect and causes that PowerPoint, and I've tried to draw as best I could up there, where there's like plugs, you know, and with leads. And what are you going to plug into? You can just plug into yourself, and in your soul there's a whole heap of spiritual sensitive connecting points, you know, that were intended to plug into God, but Satan grabs that lead and plugs it into all sorts of demonic counterfeits. When we're born again, the opportunity is for all those connections to flow into God Himself and for us to feel an energy which He mightily inspires within us. So the challenge this morning is to open up the eyes of your heart. That's what Ephesians says. I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened. in order that you may know the riches of his glorious grace. I want you to try something now that I'm going to put up on the screen. In the moment, you're going to see a picture come up. In the middle of the picture, you'll see four little dots. I want you to focus on those four dots for about 30 seconds. And then I'm going to turn the screen off, and I want you to keep focusing on that white screen and see what appears, all right? Because it's a challenge of focus. Just stare at it. Just keep staring at the four dots in the middle of that shape. All right? Staring. Oops. I just blew the whole thing. Keep staring. Keep staring. Now blink. What do you see come out? How many can see that? Try it again. Focus on those four dots in the middle of the face again. Stare at them. If you haven't got the revelation, don't worry. It's just a little illusion. You can check it out afterwards. I'm not going to spend all day doing this just until you all got it. But you see it? See, you know, the point of that little exercise is this. You will see where you put your focus. You will see where you put your attention. If you just look at that for a moment, you won't see it. You stare at it, put your focus on it, and then suddenly something else starts to come to the fore. You put your focus and your attention upon God. Something else starts to come to the fore in your life. And you lift your life out of the realm of just what you see with your natural eyes. And you start to see things that no one else can see. Because they haven't got the focus. This morning, can I encourage you? There's a whole new way of living that we're part of here this morning. Remember what it said in Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 to 6. Let me read it to you one more time. Did I miss a slide? You can live your life either by your own natural reasoning this morning, and it'll get you a long way. Some people who have a lot of education develop that reasoning capacity quite brilliantly, but they still fall short. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. What could they be if they also tapped into their spirit? When you tap into your spirit, into your heart, there's a whole new level of creativity that flows. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. For the mind of sinful nature is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And so John 4:24 encourages us this morning. Therefore, God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And finally, out of your belly this morning will flow rivers of living water, which will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me, as the scripture says. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and things have been what you would describe as spiritually dry. It's because your soul is doing all the driving and your spirit's over here limply saying, hey, if you would engage me, you could see something very differently happening in your life. This morning, church is about giving opportunity for re-engagement to occur, where spirit and soul can come together and release a fresh power into your world. Hallelujah. And out of that which has become a dried up brook can come a river of living water. And God's Spirit is here to bring that into your world this morning. It's a mindset. Those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. But those who live according to the flesh have their minds set upon what the flesh desires. For the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind, the Spirit, the life controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And that's why Jesus came into the world. as the cause that which was atrophied and dried up to come alive again. So that now you don't have to just live in the power of yourself, but you can live with a new energy that flows in you. Now, Christian, where do you live? In step with the Spirit? Or do you live disengaged? Our mindset needs to say, I surrender to you, to what your word says. I think the last time I was here, I talked about things may not be as they might appear. It's a mindset. Don't just look at your natural circumstances. Allow the supernatural to determine the natural rather than the natural, the supernatural. Hallelujah. Can I pray with you guys this morning? And if you don't know Jesus this morning, what a great opportunity for you to engage your spirit, perhaps the first time. Let's bow your heads in prayer, would you? Father God, you're here this morning. And I can say that confidently because you're always here. The problem is not you. The problem is us. We disengage from you so easily. Father, and I know, because I know it's true in my church, I can have people sitting in a church service, ecstatically worshipping you and connected to you. And yet, Lord, in the same row, there can be others who are totally disengaged, who can't sense God's presence at all. And Father God, I know that that's true here this morning because we determine so much of what we get from you by our attitude, whether we engage with you or not. And this morning, I just speak a spirit of re-engagement over this church. Father, for growth to occur, as their name declares, it can't be just growing in natural ability. It can't be just growing in that which the world would give us. It's growing in that which comes from you. Father, it's allowing a releasing that comes out and an outreach into our world that flows from hearts of worship. Father God, I speak that into this church, that it might be a growing congregation of spiritually engaged people in Jesus' name. And Father God, would you just come right now by your power and just minister that release into each person's life right here this morning. If you've never given your life to Christ, by that I mean you've never allowed your spirit to come alive, and you know you've been living life all in the energy of self, and you're saying this morning, I just need to find out what this is, this other way of living, this higher, better way of living, where my spirit comes alive, and I live by the power of my spirit. If you feel atrophied, dried up, like the river with no water in it, like the reservoir that's just run dry, and your spirit needs to be replenished this morning. There's a supply here that by faith you can tap into and your tank can be full. Hallelujah. If you've never given your life to Jesus this morning or you feel incredibly dry spiritually, raise your hand here so I can pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Father, let renewal just flow this morning into these people that are raising their hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. How many of you have really felt God healing you this morning in areas of your life while I've been speaking? Praise God. Now you need to testify about those things. Speak them out. If you're still needing healing and if it hasn't happened for you yet, can we have some ministry time, Pastor John? Is that all right? Why don't you come out the front as we just sing a song together? And those of you who raised your hands before about spiritually re-engaging, want to come alive to God, come as well, because I'd love to pray with you that sense of impartation can occur here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.